DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard of DJ Khaled.
Of course.
You got a chance to hang out with DJ Khaled.
And DJing at that time, I think it was bringing in 70,000, 75,000, just doing parties here and there.
If DJ Khaled was to leave, you know, this lifestyle.
I saw myself I'm disappearing in this lifestyle. Like whatever little my parents taught me was disappearing.
This is the D,
So to me, it came down to college job, right? That's what you do. And but you got a lot of free time now. So what did you fill your free time with? Friends. And my friends that then were, you know, they'd go to the bar, they'd go. And one of my friends got into DJing. Like he bought turntables. And I remember going to his basement one day, I was like, oh my God, what's that? And I was the kind of guy that, you know, I'm good at something if I apply myself. So he showed me how he was doing the techniques. And within 30 minutes, I was doing it better than he was doing it. And he was still new too, but I was beating him in as far as skill set goes. And I guess that light bulb went off. I was like, I think I like this. You know, you kind of get attracted to it. So we invested, I think it was $1,000 then. Don't ask, I don't even remember how I got the money. Maybe it was $700. And then we bought more equipment. And then make a long story short, I started DJing. And you know, one of those guys, just like with jiu-jitsu, if I apply myself, I'll do it. Try to pull my all into it. So within a year, I became really good at it, started making mixtapes, started making CDs, and start doing, and first, on the mixtape, you gotta put your number, and little by little, people start calling you and for parties. So my point is, I got, unbeknownst to me, became first a hobby, but the hobby became monetized, and that monetized into a world of haram, you know, party. It wasn't even when I start cleaning my act up, that's when I started doing weddings. Even that was bad. But before that, it was just a bunch of parties. Some of the parties were just insane.
So you said you started cleaning your act up. It was the next level. It was a little bit cleaner weddings.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So I thought to myself, let me get out of DJing in Detroit. And all these, some of these were gang parties. But, you know, drinking and gangs and fights and just a crazy, crazy lifestyle. And then I saw myself I'm disappearing in this lifestyle. Like whatever little my parents taught me was disappearing.
So you already had a little bit of
fun. A little bit. I did pray. I fasted during Ramadan, but it was just rituals. It wasn't.
You felt like you were sinking. The more
yes, yes, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. So even then, like I remember sometimes. I hate to say this; it's embarrassing. I remember one time vividly. I had a hangover, and my kidney was hurting me. I remember my side was hurting. And as I'm doing my salah that next day, I'm holding my side as I'm doing it because it was hurting. And I remember in the thought at that time, I was like, "What? This is insanity. I'm actually performing just like. I mean, I'm acting now like those Muslims that." You hear those stories, or before alcohol was outlawed, Muslims would be drunk in Salah, and then the Prophet ﷺ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outlawed alcohol completely. I guess my point is, it hit me then, I was like, what am I doing? This is not a life. So, but you're so deep into it, how do you get out of it? So I said to myself, let me get out by stop doing parties and I'll start doing weddings. So I called up a local guy who's doing just weddings. And now at least with the weddings, I thought I'm doing good because I'm DJing only Muslim weddings. And your own community, a little better. No, it wasn't better, it was worse. And that maybe worse in the sense it was the same level because everyone's drinking in these weddings and the fitna and the mixing was the same, only that there was no gangs and now it's just our people. So it made me actually feel worse, not better, because our own people now are acting like this.
I'm sure many people out there can identify, you know, college, yeah. Music,
yes.
Now you're like the life of the party.
Yes.
Hey, DJ, play that song.
Yes. Right? Yeah. And especially, it's almost like one of those things, not that you're a celebrity, but you have one inch of celebrity.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, may Allah forgive me, but a big fitna was women.
Yeah.
Because.
You can play their song.
Yeah, oh my God.
You can get along.
Yes, it was a big problem. So I said, you know what, this is ridiculous. The only way to do this right is to really cut it off completely. So I remember calling my friend up. He was also a local DJ in the area. And he wasn't that good. Like he was aspiring to be a DJ. So for me to call him and say to him, listen, I'll give you everything. I need you to come over and take all my stuff. Like everything. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, no, come get everything.
You're telling him this.
Yes. And he didn't believe me at first. And if you don't come within 20 minutes, I'm going to call the next guy on my list. So he had three brothers. They all flew to my house. And they'd even look at me. They're like,
at that time, like help paint a picture. Because you're spinning, you know, the records,
yes.
Right? It's not like today.
No.
Those are antiques now.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't give him like a few hundred dollars. I gave him thousands of dollars. Yeah, these things today are worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I knew that's the only way I have to like rip off a Band-Aid, but really get rid of it. And they cleared out everything. I mean, they wrecked my room. They did it like bad too.
How many records did you actually have, would you say?
I would argue
the hundreds.
Oh, easy, over 1,000 records.
Yeah, over 1,000.
Yeah, I was one of those guys that go, like, there's a few stores that don't exist no more, but they should be in Detroit.
If you don't want me to ask you, what particular type did you do? Hip hop, rock, techno?
I did it all. I liked the house. I liked hip hop. I liked rock. I liked everything. I had records for everything.
For everything.
Yeah. My mixtapes at that time were diverse. Like, I try to do as many as I can. The popular thing at that time was freestyle music. You would do that. But I enjoyed music, so I would branch off to all the other aspects of it as well.
So, guys, this is the hip, cool guy. This is the DJ now. Pay attention.
So, but that's what you got to do. If you want to do something, you got to do right. Kind of back to the original idea, if I'm going to DJ, let me do it right. I said to myself, if I'm going to start studying Islam, I can't mess around. This half in, half out is not working. It's just drowning me more. It just wasn't working. So, anyway, they took everything. They left. The next day I woke up. I was like, okay. This is serious. Now I have nothing to do. No more money, no more gigs, no more, you know, now free time is back, and that's the shaitan. So I had good relationships with friends that at that time ignored me because I was in that lifestyle, but they didn't cut me off. Like, they knew I was a good guy, my soul, I guess, my core. So when I called them up, one of them in particular, his name was Haitham. I was like, listen, I'm ready to hear you. I know I've ignored you for the last 3-4 years. You've attempted to talk to me, and I've ignored you. I'm admitting this.
So Haitham now.
Yes.
So this will qualify as a good friend.
Yes. Yeah, good friend.
So you're not a good friend. What's he telling you? Like, that you didn't want to listen before, or you were putting
him
on hold?
Me and him both got caught up in this lifestyle. We're talking now. We're young, 18. Yeah. But he was more mature for me than me, and he broke off much earlier.
And he was practicing the Deen.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And during those few 4 or 5 years. Where I created this institution, us. He tried to reach out to me, tried to get me to read this, talk this, and you know, you just don't want to hear it. Your brain's somewhere else. But now I'm ready to hear it, right? So I called him this time. Of course, he obliged. I went to his house, and I got lucky. But he was smart. He knew that I didn't need just another lecture. I didn't need he knew something. He knew, like, this guy's not a dummy. So he's like, you want to talk? I'll make one condition. He went in his house, came back, he gave me a book. He knew that in my college, my degree was economics. So he's like, he gave me a book. It was titled The Economic System of Islam. I was like, I was expecting, I don't know, something else. I didn't expect that. It didn't make sense to me. He's like, I'll talk to you. I'll give you the discussion, but you got to read this book first. And then we'll have that talk. I go, okay, deal. I'm ready. I went home, knocked it out in 3 days. And at the end of the 3 days, I didn't go to call him right away. I took another 3 days. I took 6 days to call him. Why? Because 3 days to knock out the book, and I swear 3 days just to sit there in my chair. I had a chair where I used to think and really analyze.
You had a think chair.
Yeah, I had a think chair, yeah. I used to sit in that chair in the DJ days and think of, like, mixtapes and how to make the songs better.
So now you're thinking about something
deeper. Yes, yes. And now my chair, I've used the same skill set for this. And I really thought about those ideas I learned in that book. Well, like, for instance, I didn't know Islam outlawed usury. I didn't understand, I didn't know, for example, Islam had anti-hoarding laws. You know, these are things today where, as an economic major in college, I saw problems in the world today. And here's this book that was that thin and has certain ideas that stem from Islam, stem from 14 years ago from our deen, that can instantly solve some of the world's problems. I was blown away. I really had to think about that. And that opened my mind up. I was like, well, if this can happen from just a couple of rules in Islam that I didn't even know exist, because at this point, Islam to me was just pray, just fast, and maybe go to Hajj one day, and that's it. That's the extent of Islam to me that I was taught from my parents. Here's for the first time, the book, like, smacked me across the face, because I realized at this moment, Islam is a complete way of life. If there's rules for this, and this one rule, for example, can solve a lot of the world's problems, what else is there? Now my brain's opened up. Now I'm ready to learn. And I see now why he put that condition on me. So I went back. He's like, it took so long. I was like, I had to think about this. Give me a second. So let's sit down. He's like, now let's back up a step. Forget economics. Let's go back to its basics. And we start studying the existence of Allah. We start studying what I would call today a book called Nidamul Islam. And it kind of just breaks down the core of thought, the core of why we believe in Allah, etc. And I think that really opened my mind up. And I just got lucky. I got lucky to reconnect with these guys. and I start learning from them. And I know it's cliche to say, but I'm sitting with someone who I've also studied it, because you've been in this game a long time. Your videos go back years now. And we live in a time where we have resources. We have YouTube. Not everything's good, but there's a lot of good stuff, a lot of good guys like you, where you can go learn and just click and just and dive in. And so in the gym, for example, when guys ask me about my story, I always tell them, that's my story. But more importantly, you live in a special time now where I don't need another Haitham. You technically could just sit in your house, just like you guys already do for music, just like you're ready to do for sports, whatever you're into. You can go and think of a topic and go click on it and learn about it, because Islam has an answer for everything. You just got to kind of open your mind up and go. And maybe learning about something other than prayer, even though prayer is important, even though fasting is important, all these rituals we do are insanely important. But for me, it was something else other than our rituals that brought me to Islam. I guess that's my point.
If you go back and you look at the life you were living, obviously, you know, you're fulfilling a lot of desires.
Yes.
Right? You're having fun.
Yes.
Compare that to what you're doing now.
Yes.
And leaving that, any regrets?
No, I don't think there was regrets, because you fill your mind with knowledge. And this knowledge is not just like math, like 1 + 1 = 2, like that kind of knowledge. This is a certain type of knowledge that's penetrating my heart, right? And I see why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in many verses in the Quran that I can, you know, he describes the alib, but he's talking about it as if it's he's describing your heart, but it's really discussing your mind. So this connection between our mind and our heart, I see what Allah's building in certain verses of the Quran. It's very interesting, because that's exactly how I feel with your question. So I'm filling my mind with knowledge, knowledge of a certain topic that I didn't know before, and then it's penetrating my heart. It's making me feel complete. And it's filling my soul in such a way where I don't need that lifestyle no more.
It's filling your soul.
Yes.
The lifestyle before, it wasn't filling
the
soul.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yes. Beautiful. Yeah, it was just my heart. So this connection between our mind and heart is very important. Mm-hmm. I need to learn, use my mind to fill it with knowledge so I can fill my soul up. They connect together. That's how I feel every time I learn. And by the way, this doesn't go away. Like, I've been studying Islam now for years. And
it's not going away.
It doesn't go away, because there's always something new to learn. Like the other day, I learned a new lecture. God, what was the topic? It blew my way. I forgot. It's on my phone. But he was discussing something that I haven't heard before, and I was like, huh. So there's a certain moment. It was a 20-minute lecture. He concluded the lecture, and I thought about it and thought about it. Well, now instantly, my brain now has a new piece of information, and it made my heart feel better. And I don't know if that makes sense to you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
And that's, I think, the connection between the heart and the mind is important. You got to feel this to get this. And that way I don't go back to the haram. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I guess what I'm trying to say is, there are moments in life where, yeah, I see a beautiful woman, oh man, I want to marry her. Or you get those, I want to go back to that old life. But just for a split second, shaitan jumps in and says these thoughts. But you remind yourself that this is haram. You know, start really understanding why certain things are haram. And haram and halal becomes more, not just a rule, but something that you live in your heart. And instantly, like, the thought comes in, and within 2 seconds, the thought is gone. Like, I defeat it. So you become stronger. Knowledge makes you, your heart stronger, your soul stronger. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah. There's so much here that can be gained. Beautiful story. So you don't want to dabble in the sin. You don't want to dabble, you know, in transgressing the limits of God Almighty, the Creator Allah. And alhamdulillah, you just cut it from the root. Right?
Yeah.
That was it. What would you say to the people, like, who are out there who, because you mentioned the topic of DJing, I don't know why in my head it came up, DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard of DJ Khaled.
Of course.
If you got a chance to hang out with DJ Khaled or someone who's trying to aspire to be like DJ Khaled, what advice would you give for them to take those gifts, you know, that Allah had given the person and utilize it in a more profound way that can get you closer and other people closer to Allah?
Man, that's a good question. Like, for example, if DJ Khaled was into jiu-jitsu and he walked in my gym right now, I would like to meet him. Why not? I mean, he is good at what he does. But I think we need to go back to its core. DJ Khaled might be a good, I don't know if he's a good DJ. I mean, let's assume. I think he's more of a producer with a cool name. But for a second, his idea comes up with good production. And this production the idea has a choice. The minute it crosses into the public sphere, I'm now influencing thousands of people. Mm-hmm. And in his case, he's influencing millions of people. And that's a burden I don't want to put on myself. So that's what I would tell somebody. In my opinion, there's nothing wrong with, you might have a skill set. For example, let's say a woman, like I have two daughters, one's 16. I say to myself the other day, she's not that good, but let's say she was. The other day where the kids are watching some movie, The Sing or something like that, Sing 2, and she shot, I wasn't in the room because they won't do this in front of me because they're a little, you know, shy in front of their dad, but she shot off a note. I was like, huh, and I walked in, I was like, is that Mia? And it sounded like a professional singer for a second. So for a second, I entertained my mind, what if she is good enough? What if she's she has an Adele quality in her voice? Well, I have a choice. Do I stop her from doing this or stop her from doing it publicly? To me, that's the important thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us a very, very clear distinction between private and public. So basically, I'm trying to say, I'll let her explore this skill. Go ahead, sing all you want in your house. Sing in front of your father and your mother and explore this skill. And even if you want to start writing, write. Let's write. I don't know if it's halal to some music, written. Maybe, I don't know, I'm not a scholar. Maybe that's allowed or two. I'm just guessing. But let's explore the skill. But the minute the skill crosses into something that might be haram, we have to stop. This is our limit. Because at the end of the day, we're not here to sell music or sing. We're here to obey Allah.
Yes, beautiful. I have to remind myself. That's so important. We're not here, you know, to sing or write song. We're here for a purpose.
Yes.
And Allah told us what He created us for, you know. So the last thing was what I was thinking.
A better example is me. My salah is done. My duties are done. My due responsibilities of business and response. All my things are done. Now I have a technical free time. I'll explore this on my laptop just for myself. I think that's okay. I think. If I'm mistaken, correct me now and I'll fix that as well. But I won't ever cross into the public because now I don't want to go back to the old days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know who I spoke a lot about this with? Like, I don't know if you heard of Loon. You know, former rapper.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Amir Junaid Muhaddad, now he talks about this topic. It's really good.
Yes.
You know, and then the former rapper who's with Tupac, you know, the Napoleon.
Yes.
Yeah, they cover these topics because they were people who were in just like you, but at a whole totally different level, you know. But now, just to finish off, back on DJ Khaled, you know, you think about someone like him who has everything.
Yeah.
And now you... You know, you are someone who had this lifestyle, and we know when someone, leaves something for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it with something better.
I agree.
So the same thing, if DJ Khaled was to leave, you know, this lifestyle that's obviously, you know,
yes,
it's not in the pleasure of the Creator of heavens and earth, and you can actually be doing something that's raising your ranks, you know, with Allah,
yes,
Allah definitely will replace that with something better. Did you see that? When you left this, you know, with the proper intention, you left this for your Creator, right?
Yes.
Did you see it replaced with something better?
100%.
Yeah.
I'll answer the two clear ways. One, because you get it, end of the day, if things go back to money. I monetized the skill. And DJing at that time, I think it was bringing in 70,000, 75,000, just doing parties here and there. And then when I started doing weddings, the money actually increased, not decreased. And that's a lot of money for someone that age. I would study in the daytime and then just DJ over the weekends. So it was an easy lifestyle too. But you're talking, for me to make that much money then, I wanted to replace it because now I'm going from this to zero. And I'm not saying it happened overnight, but now that I have free time, I dove into a new skill. So the minute I stopped DJing, I was like, okay, and I started studying Islam. I still have free time. I didn't, you know, do this 24 hours a day. So I found this background you're looking now is a reflection of that. When I found the jiu-jitsu, I fell in love with it. It not only filled my time with something physical and mental, but it also, a love became. I really enjoyed it. And this skill I'm talking about, it took me a few years to develop, just like you would, I'm sure, in your case as well. I ended up monetizing it. And all that money I made then came back. Because it goes back to rizq. Rizq's from Allah.
Yes.
And if we really understand that, you know, to me, it's profound thought because I'll go out into the world and do everything I can do to earn as long as it's halal. Why? Because if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. That's why when a customer joins or doesn't join, I don't get mad. As long as I did my best to present a good product to the person. And if he joins, great. That means it was meant to be. If not, no big deal. That means someone else is going to get that money. And I'm okay with that because it's going to come back. And all the money I made... quote-unquote lost DJing by stopping that lifestyle, then Allah give me this. And a few other businesses I'm doing, but this in particular, that love was filled there. So it filled my time with this, and I filled my money with this as well. Two things were same thing that DJ gave me, but now I'm not indulging haram. So I can at least go home and face my children, and they're not embarrassed by their dad, you know? My dad, for example, is a great man today, but when he was earning in this country. One of the things he got into was a nightclub. He owned a nightclub on AMA called Prestige Club, him and his brothers. And that club, I'm sure, made a lot of money for him, enough money to pay for my college, enough money to buy the home we have and or they had. But when I became older and I started recognizing it, I put pressure on him. I go, Bob, I think we need to get out of this. I think we need to get out of this. And that's a funny story in itself, too. Maybe one day we could share that. But how I kind of really sometimes I cross the line, you know, being kind to my dad to being mean because I want him to put pressure. Melly, forgive me for that, but it worked. Eventually, my dad said, okay, you're right. We need to get rid of this. And he went into the restaurant business because at the end of the day, a nightclub is still a restaurant. And he took the haram part out and kept the halal part in. And he did good with that. So there's another example where let me abandon this disgusting life that's ruining my relationship with my wife, ruining my kids are not old enough to recognize that my dad's not a good guy. He's making money selling liquor and living a terrible lifestyle. Let me get out of this. And now Anywhere was replaced. He had a very successful restaurant. Same brothers that left there, they went to open a restaurant and they did great for years. And then he cleaned his act up, went to Hajj, and he's a good man today. So there's another story. But it can be done. So if you trust in Allah and you follow the deen, things Allah opens other doors for you. I'm convinced in that. It's for sure. And DJ Khaled, if he were to quit, go back to his roots, 100% Allah will give him another thing because he's still skilled. He has skills. Just take your skills somewhere else.
You hear that, DJ Khaled, or anybody inspiring to be like that, this, inshallah, could be a benefit for those who are on the border and they also, like you, have that itch inside. They know what they're doing is wrong and now getting out of something that's haram into something that's halal. And inshallah, this will be something that can help them make a better decision. Thank you so much for sharing that story with us.
Thank you.
And if you guys are in Detroit, they can come visit you at Detroit Jiu-Jitsu here with our brother.
DetroitJiu-Jitsu.com. Best trainers in the state.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.